hymn of preparation. Street United Methodist Church this morning. A very special welcome to each of you, and especially those of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you feel welcome here and that you'll come back to visit us often. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you'll give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So, if you would please now pass those attendance pads down the pews, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Announcements this morning, a reminder that there will be no Wednesday gathering this Wednesday. With Thanksgiving coming up, we will not have a Wednesday night gathering. The gatherings will continue or will resume November the 28th. Also, United Methodist men are reminded of a meeting this Tuesday at 5:30. Should be a very interesting program. The speaker will be Boykin Curry, and Mr. Curry will be speaking on memorable people of Greenwood. So, men of the church, please make reservations by calling the church office and let them know that you will be attending that. That's Tuesday at 5:30. Also, we will be having our charge conference this Tuesday at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. All are invited to attend the charge conference. Members of the Board of Stewards are encouraged to be present for that. That's Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Also, put on your calendars Sunday, December the 9th. I know that's a few Sundays away, but please put that on your calendars. We will have a church-wide dinner immediately following the 11 o'clock service. This will be for a fundraiser for Dr. Skinner's Honduras medical missions trip. All of the proceeds from that dinner will be used to purchase supplies for that trip. So that is Sunday, December the 9th. Tickets will be on sale. They're $6 a piece. Someone will be selling those tickets just outside this door immediately following the service this morning. So again, put that date on your calendar and please purchase your tickets in advance so they'll know how much food to have available for that. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
stand and join in the call to worship. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations upon the earth. The earth has brought forth its increase. May God, our own God, bless us.
Is found in your bulletin. And come, thou fount of every blessing, pardon the forgetfulness and ingratitude with which we receive our daily blessings. Come and move by our Holy Spirit within us even while we pray, and that our praises and thanksgivings may overflow in happy song and joyful life. Make this day and the worship so real to our hearts that we may go forth in life filled with gratitude and not taking life for granted again. Amen. As we approach our time of prayer together, I have a celebration today, an announcement that Robert Phillips, sitting right, I don't have my, there, right over there, I don't have my glasses on. Robert Phillips is 96 today. Today. And we also have some concerns I'd like to lift up that you may not be aware of. Goldie Davis lost her sister over the weekend. And Peggy Ackerman will be having some extensive back surgery tomorrow morning. Please be in prayer for her. Continue to be in prayer for Ken Flincham and many of the other ongoing concerns we have mentioned, as well as your personal and private concerns and thanksgivings as well. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we do think of all we have to be thankful for. Lord, help us make a list of priorities that will please you. Move us beyond dwelling on things and wealth and possessions. We know eventually they all turn to dust and rust and decay. We know we often overlook the great gifts you have given us, your love, your forgiveness, your acceptance, your grace. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for these great gifts through Jesus Christ. And give us hearts ever mindful of what you have done for us in Jesus. And give us also hearts overflowing in thankfulness for precious memories of loved ones we have had who have gone on. Family and friends who people our days and our nights. Family in Christ, and the support we give each other here at Main Street Church. Lord, you have blessed us and met our needs so well. Lead us out to meet the needs of others in your name as we serve you and continue your Son's ministry. We do pray for those who are grieving today, for those who are homebound and unable to be in the bosom of their family, for those who are facing surgery and difficult decisions and financial problems. Lord, we lift up these names, these concerns, in the private, silent prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we do pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. It is time for our children's time, and Dr. Steve Skinner will have it. I'll ask the children to come forward.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Good. The collection plate is here in the middle. If anybody has an offering and wants to go ahead and put that in, they may. Have any of y'all seen television commercial with the Energizer bunny on it? The little pink bunny with the ears with the drum that just keeps on going and has lots of extra energy? Some of your parents probably think y'all don't need any extra energy, but did you know that God has given us a gift that provides us with a lot of energy and a lot more power than the Energizer Bunny ever comes up with? And that gift is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us as promised by Jesus to provide whatever power or energy we needed, so that if we are tired and just think we can't continue, the Holy Spirit provides us the energy to kind of get up and keep going. That if we are scared and frightened and think that we just can't continue with some task, the Holy Spirit provides us with the courage to kind of face whatever we're dealing with and keep going. Or if we're sad or lonely, the Holy Spirit provides us with peace and joy so that we can continue going. The Holy Spirit, basically Jesus told us, had every power that Jesus had was given to the Holy Spirit to give to us when we ask for it. There is one catch. We have to kind of tune into the right channel. We have to be tuned into God's channel, though, to get this power and this energy. And we do that through several ways. We do that through reading the Bible and studying God's Word. We do that by praying. And as we pray, we learn more about God and we grow closer to God. And we do that through worshiping God, through singing in the choir or through attending Sunday school or joining each other here at church for worship. So remember that God has given us a gift. He's given us power and energy to face whatever we have to face in life. And remember to continue to grow closer to God so that His power will always be there for you. Can y'all pray with me today? Dear God, thank you for your many gifts. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us to grow in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Now let us greet one another in the love and the peace and the compassion and acceptance of Christ. Let us pass the peace.
Reading today comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food, shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The epistle reading is taken from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we did not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Thereof, we do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes and returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
now God's word from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you may that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today is what the old preachers used to call a moving sermon. Some of them are smiling. It may move you emotionally and spiritually, or it may get me moved. It is not a traditional Thanksgiving sermon. That's the direction I started out in. But as you struggle with the scripture, sometimes you don't end up where you started out to go. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, as always, when I have something serious to approach, I start with a joke. I'm going to let you know that it's a joke in advance so you'll know when I stop what to do. A dog food company had a brand new product that wasn't selling well. And the president called in his management staff and he said, "How is our advertising?" The advertising executive said, "It's great. We'll probably win some of the industry's top awards this year with our ads." He said, "Okay. How about our product design?" And the production manager spoke up and he said, "It's great, boss. So we have a new label and our packaging scored very high and all the marketing tests that we ran." He said, "Huh. What about our sales staff? Are they doing their job?" And the sales manager said, "Oh, sure. Our people are the best in the business." And then there was a heavy silence from the president. He thought about what he had just heard. He said, "We've got a top advertising campaign, we've got good packaging, we've got a top-notch sales force, and yet this product is coming in dead last in the dog food market. Does anybody have any idea what the problem might be? Again, an uncomfortable silence. And everybody looked at one another, and finally one brave soul spoke up. He said, "It's those stupid dogs, sir. They just won't touch the stuff." When we invite others to come here to taste and see that the Lord is good, to fill their spiritual hunger here, we must be sure that the bread of life is fresh, that the harvest of love and compassion and good fruits are in evidence and on display. And thanks to Dennis Moore, some of them are. People want growth and change and depth and truth. They want spiritual substance and meat. If we invite people and people feel welcomed and see God's power to change lives in our lives and see that God has put us in unity to work to build God's kingdom as we claim, if they see that, those people will stay. We have been called by many generations here a sleeping giant. Are we awake? Are we yet awake to our needs and to what others need to feel welcomed and included and a part of this family in Christ? Are we awake to what we have to share, and are we sharing it? I was on a mission situation years ago with a man who was a professing agnostic, a borderline atheist, but he told me, to my great shock, that he saw something in the eyes of the young people on this mission event and some of the adult leaders on this mission event. He said, "They have something I want." When people come to worship God here through song and sermon and prayer, and then they turn to you on the left and the right before leaving, what do they see? I hope not the cloud of dust as you rush out to lunch. Are people fascinated with their watches while the benediction is being spoken? Or Main Street members giving a last greeting? I would hope they see Main Street members giving a last greeting and an invitation to please return next week and to visit their Sunday school class or their men's group or their women's circle or whatever small group you may be active in and could invite. Studies have proven that people who join when a hot preacher comes usually leave when the hot preacher leaves. But people who find warmth and welcome and inclusion in a church family stay and grow and build year after year. Someone sometime spoke to you about God. Maybe someone quite ordinary. They were a light unto your feet, showing you where the bread you needed was to be found, showing you your need for a Savior and the door to knock on. Someone comforted you as an echo of God's Holy Spirit when you needed it most. Someone gave you grace when you really deserved judgment. Someone quietly stood by you when everyone else turned their back. God was present for you in those kinds of moments. Now it is your turn to be in those kind of moments for others. In Christ's name and through the Spirit's power, you can and have been called to do just that. We must not become people who seek first social and business connections, because there is something much more important and lasting. There is spiritual hunger in the world. And you may hear that and say, "Well, that's, of course there is, but that is God's job to deal with." Well, there's spiritual hunger in this town, and God has decided how to deal with it locally, through churches, through centers where people have experienced God's grace and are eager to pass it on. Churches where people have experienced God's love and forgiveness and are eager to pass it on. Churches, places where people have honestly looked inward and seen real sin, real selfishness, real hypocrisy, and so would never pass judgment on another, because we know. That's God's job.
And God has gone to great lengths, even the cross and the tomb, to offer forgiveness and grace. And we know that is what we need. That's what others need, and that's what we are here for. To save people from empty lives and wasted lives and angry lives and hurtful lives and hateful lives. It is our calling, our job, our mission to be the person who notices, who cares, who reaches out to others, and who has fed upon Christ to such a degree that we radiate a certain calmness, a certain joy, a certain certainty that in the end, God wins. Love wins. And so look around in your neighborhood. Look around at your work. Look around your friends and even family, people you know. Some people you even like are obsessing with trivial, hollow things, spending their lives and spinning their wheels feeding on spiritual junk food. Some try relationship after relationship. They may be triple divorced, but what they are hungry for is a healthy relationship with God and Christ and with an accepting, loving, forgiving community. Some feel the hunger to belong, to feel okay, and they feed that hunger with drugs or alcohol. Of course, it solves nothing, and in fact, it creates more problems, but at least for a few moments, they are numb to their pain. We should offer them as well true solace and true welcome and true belonging, not just after they clean up their act, but before and during. Some try to fill their spiritual emptiness with money and with hobbies and career building. And I need to say something about this. I have more than once stood by the bed of a multimillionaire as a pastor as he died. And it has always impressed me that what they had earned and what they had retained in the bank and invested meant absolutely nothing in that moment. As they lay dying, they focused on close family, a few friends, called in their pastor, wanted to hear some scripture, wanted to hear a prayer. And what they owned or had on was suddenly and utterly meaningless. We were made to be in close, trusting, honest relationships with God and with others. While people are healthy, money often makes relationships with God skewed. Because we feel if we have money, well, I'm not poor, and so I'm not really thankful for my daily bread. We say, in essence, I've got this one, God. I can handle things on my own. If I need help, I'll give you a call. So God stays distant. And money can do that. Money often changes your relationship with other people. In most towns, certain names are associated with money. And in those towns, when you are introduced to, and someone recognizes your name and asks you, oh, are you related to... All at once, the mood changes. The power of money changes everything. Not for the better. Not for the more honest. Not for the more sincere. It changes in ways that say, I would like to know you so that your power and connections can rub off on me. You see, money can be a spiritual junk food of the highest order. We defer to its power in an almost worshipful way. We of all people should know better. I know that some churches are filled only with a certain sort of people in certain professions from certain neighborhoods. And I know what Jesus would say to his church being used in that way. To feed people's needs with a sense of belonging based on a counterfeit standard. I know without a shadow of doubt that belonging based on money and class, etc., is utterly meaningless as you lay dying. I have seen that truth. And I pity those who spend their lives purchasing belonging and buy for themselves the supposed right to look down upon others. We are not here merely to fill up the building in ways that please us. We are here to offer comfort, to offer hope, and to offer healing, and to welcome and to incorporate whomsoever will come looking for the grace and for the peace of Jesus Christ. I have very often heard, oh, I've never thought of inviting so-and-so to church. So-and-so wouldn't fit in here. And if I invite him, then I would have to invite him to my Sunday school class, and well, he's just different. Or she's not like your average church member, and so I never invited her. There are so many people seeking meaning in so many superficial, starving ways, looking for connections to God. And God has left only one plan and one organization for connecting people, the church. And we are God's church. Disciple-making has not been very high on our list for years and years. I know that we have done careful, casual invitations of low-maintenance people who are not too needy, not too far outside our comfort zones. Those have been invited. But folks with real needs, who need real attention and time and discipling and prayer, tend not to be invited. Or if they are invited, not completely welcomed. Or if welcomed, not finally incorporated into the church family. Belonging. Belonging is a basic emotional and spiritual need. People need to know that they are fully family. People need to know that we are serious about our outreach and hospitality and embrace of those who seek a deeper relationship with God through this worshiping community. Now, I am not scolding, though it may sound like it. I am not scolding. This is a prayer. I am praying out loud. I am begging the sleeping giant of Main Street to awake to her full potential. This is not about potential members. What I mean is awake to our mission and ministry of making and growing and incorporating disciples from every corner of Greenwood. Now, God may be the very last place some of your friends and associates would look for hope or healing. But don't keep your faith in God a secret. Don't be afraid or ashamed that you have found comfort, love, and hope right here. Please don't keep it a secret. The early Christians often risked their lives to spread the gospel. We can risk some embarrassment or rejection for the sake of someone else's soul. We can do that. Main Street has a great past and a growing program and a growing slate of offerings to the community. But we have more to offer than just what shows up on our calendar. We have the true bread of heaven. We have Jesus Christ. Not physical and not fiscal gifts alone, but spiritual food that can satisfy the hunger of every soul running on empty. We have the God of the last resort, the God of the second and third chance. We have the God who gave himself up for us that we might be with him forever. A God who identified with the poor and the outcast, who offers hope to anyone who knocks, anyone who follows, anyone who comes, anyone at all. What a positive and gracious God. How much bigger is God's love and grace than ours tends to be. There is a shift coming. Our future is being born. The old is dying, and the new is being born. We may say it is impossible, but God says all things are possible. We may say I'm too tired. God says I will give you rest. We may say nobody really loves me. God says I love you. We may say I can't go on, and God says my grace is sufficient. We may say I can't figure things out. It's too complex. God says I will direct your steps. We say I can't do it. God says you can do all things. We say I'm not able. God says I am able. We may say, I can't manage God, but God says, I will supply all of your needs. We may say, I'm afraid, but God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. And we may say, I'm not smart enough. God says, I will give you wisdom. We say, I feel all alone. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has made all of these promises and more through Scripture. And in what some may call childlike faith, I believe them. I believe them. Many have already become realities in our lives. We are here because we believe or we want to believe that God can feed our souls with something real and true and nourishing and lasting. We are here because God has touched us and changed us for the better. And we can only suspect there is more to come. More places and more depth and more fullness of God in our lives that we have not yet experienced. This is the place to see and follow people just ahead of us in faith,
or to leave people just behind. We need each other, and we need to talk about and share our faith in its triumphs and in its defeats. You know, over the years, as I look at the statistics, Main Street has mostly grown by transfers. Transfers from people who've already professed faith other places. It is time, I believe, to see ourselves as a church fulfilling the Great Commission and making disciples, looking for opportunities to share our faith, reaching out and bringing in and nourishing those who are starving for meaning and belonging. That's a far cry from growing by transfer, but that is our call. And I know it will be uncomfortable for many of us, and change always is, but as I said before, there is a shift coming. Our future is being born. The old is dying, and the new is being born. We are here to offer hope, not just when someone moves to town and transfers, but hope after a whole slew of mistakes and missteps. Hope after someone's career has failed, after someone's marriage has failed, after their sentence is over, or after graduation from rehab. We are here to offer hope. The great theologian Karl Barth said that broken people come to church asking, "Is it true? Is it true?" If we do not welcome broken people, then on behalf of God, we have said to them, "No. The gospel is not true." We must never be guilty of sending seekers away doubting the love of God. You may be familiar with the pollster, and he's also a Christian, George Barna, and a market researcher. Well, he conducts a poll to determine what is bringing people to church, and his results really don't change much from year to year. This year, the poll told basically the same story that I've seen every year since I've been paying attention. Barna asked people what led them to church, the church that they're now a part of. 1 or 2% will say the signs out front, or they saw the ad in the newspaper, or the phone book, or the website. That's 1 or 2%. But every year, over 90% interviewed report that what first brought them to church, where they now attend, was an invitation by somebody they already knew. 90% of people who join a church first visited because they were invited by someone they already knew, they already trusted. Nothing else works like a personal invitation, someone person to person, risking rejection and inviting someone to be fed in a worship service. When the opportunity arises, please tell your friends about the great new restaurant you visited, about the bestseller you couldn't put down, and about the place where you meet God's Son and God's children every week and worship. Main Street. Main Street. Invite them to come and see for themselves, and everyone welcome them when they do come, literally for God's sake and for our future faithfulness to our calling. Welcome them when they come looking for God's people here. They come cautiously asking. They come cautiously asking about the gospel. Is it true? How will you answer? Through thought, word, and deed. Let us show those who come that the gospel is true, that Christ is alive, working in our lives, and growing together a family of God at Main Street United Methodist Church. Let the word go out, and let our focus be fulfillment of the Great Commission. Amen.
this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the comfort and the guidance and the power available even in this moment through God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.